Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When I was sharing with Pastor Gabriel and Pastor Lumide yesterday, some things that the Lord was revealing to me, even concerning some things we stand for, I just knew that the Lord truly is perfecting his people.
Amen. Amen.
Lining up our revelation. Lining up our revelation. Things you thought you know before, he'll just take you deeper. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And so when I say heretics, it's not only teaching. Your character can be heretic. And that's exactly what he's saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And maybe so that you understand, we read this regularly, frequently, but please, amen, just take time and meditate again concerning what he was saying in that 1 Corinthians chapter 11 concerning communion. That when people come, the character they display was worrisome to Apostle Paul, who had revelation of what communion is supposed to achieve. The communion service. And in verse 18.
First of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you.
Uh-huh.
And I partly believe it.
Uh-huh.
For there must be also heresies among you.
Uh-huh.
That they which are approved may be made manifest among you.
Now if you go to verse 26, listen very well.
For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye did show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body
so
and blood of
can,
the Lord.
So you can come before the Lord's table and eat that bread and drink that of that cup unworthily. And I say here, it's not referring to fornicators, adulterers, drunkards. That is not what he's referring to. He's referring to how we relate with one another. Sin against his body. Sin against the body of Christ. And you are coming to celebrate the body of Christ. And you are coming in that estate against one another. Read on, please. You eat like that. He said you are eating unworthily. And what is the consequence? You will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And all those who are guilty, they will pay for it. Go ahead and see.
Verse 28. But let a man examine himself.
Yes.
And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup.
Examine yourself before you begin to come and eat of that bread.
For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation.
Consequence of sin, you are eating damnation.
To himself.
Not because you don't understand the body of Christ. Not discerning the Lord's body. Go ahead.
For this cause, many are weak and sickly
see
among
the consequence,
you.
See the consequence. Because of this, you come in that estate, many are weak. The weakness there is you become spiritually weak. Prayer life weak. Fasting weak. Read weak. Do any church activity weak. Any spiritual activity weak. And you are spiritually weak and physically sick. Sicknesses will begin to strive in that type of atmosphere. And many die. He used the word sleep because they are children of God. They will resurrect. They will not go to hell. But your name, that is the meaning of removing your name from the book of life. That is, among those living, you will not be counted among. You are removed from the book, the list of those who are living. Physically alive, when they are counting, your name is removed from the book of life. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Because of it, people fall sick. Even in this church. In fact, this condition is more prevalent in this church. And upon how we teach, you see some people with all manner of character displayed here. And I have told you people something, that you be very, very careful. Be very, very careful. That salvation is first and foremost a personal thing. Don't let anybody's carnality and nature and origin affect your own destination. Don't let another person, you don't know where his destiny is. Don't let them affect your own destination. Praise the Lord. Sin against the body of Christ. Hallelujah. That is why Matthew chapter 18, from verse 3.
And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses.
Listen very well. He said, he brought a little child in Matthew 18 and said, except you are converted and become as this little child, you will not enter into the kingdom. You will not enjoy righteousness. You will not enjoy joy. You will not enjoy peace. Except you have the mind of a child, your conversion brings you to that level. And when a Christian is converted, believeth all things, humble, simple, and you take advantage of that type of character, converted to that level, and you make that person to stumble, the reward, the consequence of it, what will come upon you, is better than you commit suicide. It's better that you tie a stone around yourself and sink in the sea than what God will do to you. And many people suffer that type of frustration because of what they are doing to fellow Christians. And they don't know it. Don't repeat it next year. Watch against it. Even this message is a display of God's mercy for somebody. Because God is interested in repentance. Be careful what you do in the body of Christ. You will give account of it. There is the one we shall give account of when we reach heaven. But there is the one that will give account of while here. Here. You pay for it here. You have the Holy Ghost, oh, but you will live a miserable life. There are Christians that live miserable lives and they don't know their problem. That is why no deliverance takes place. You go everywhere, the situation does not change. It's God not answering prayer. Hey, take a retreat. Take a retreat and take a look at your life. And take a sincere retreat. Sin number 5. And this is the one that almost every one of us were guilty of. It is called the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Eh? Are you saying that everybody is guilty of the blasphemy? When I finish explaining it, you will know whether you are guilty or not. It's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 to 37.
Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come.
See the emphasis, again verse 32. See the emphasis.
And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man.
Listen. The emphasis there is speak. The emphasis there is what? Speak. Speak. Read on.
When whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh...
To speak against the Holy Ghost. What will happen? What's the consequence?
It shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come.
Now, listen. Including you, Olumide, you have explained it. And myself too. That the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is a sin that you commit here and forever you are damned. That is, eternally you will not be forgiven. That's not the meaning. That's not the meaning. Praise the Lord. Father light. That's not the meaning. He said, in this world, it will not be forgiven you. That is where we are now. What is the world to come? It's in the millennium. If you commit a sin now, you will be dealt with. That same sin is a sin that if in the millennium it is committed, the same thing again, the person that commits it will be dealt with. And it is a sin that even people who have the Holy Ghost can commit. Praise the Lord. Because in Revelation chapter 2, we that we rule, verse 26 and verse 27, what did he
and
say?
He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end,
yes,
to him will I give power over the nations.
You see, that is, we are going to rule the nations, and what will happen?
And he shall rule them with a rod of iron.
We are going to rule in the millennium with a rod of iron. That means you commit, we hit you. Those of us who will come to rule with Christ. Who will rule with the rod of iron. It means there will be people that will be misbehaving. So, it's not every sin you commit that you say, now Satan push me. Okay. Satan is in the bottomless pit in the millennium. So, what if they push men to misbehave now? Then they use the rod of iron. It is your flesh. It is your flesh. And your flesh can push you to commit a blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. How do we blaspheme? Number one, as in the context of Matthew chapter 12, those Pharisees were saying it out of envy. Who are the Pharisees? They were covenant children of God. They are not Gentile nations. They were not Romans. They were Jews. Jews commit blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. And so, out of envy, you speak against the manifestation of the Spirit anywhere. You will pay for it. It is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. I say out of envy. Not ignorance. Out of envy. You know, they knew that Jesus was a teacher come from God. They knew that what Jesus had was real. And he was doing miracle signs and wonders, and they were saying that he was using juju. He's by the hand of a demon. He's come, he said, Satan, he said, can Satan cast out Satan? He told them. I know why you people are saying this. You can say it now because this is what I came for. I came to be humiliated. I came to be rejected. I came to be stoned by you. I came to be crucified. I came to be killed. For I am the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I am the sacrificial lamb. So what you are doing there is allowed by God, because it's God that's allowing you to do it to save souls. No problem. But after the price is paid and anybody speaks against the move of the Spirit anywhere, it is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. If you say it here now, the same punishment you receive, even in the millennium, you receive the same punishment. You will pay for it. The consequence of sin. So be careful. Be careful what your flesh. This one is not Satan. It's not a demon. It's envy, a condition of your heart. What is the definition of envy? I didn't say jealousy. I said envy. There's a difference between jealousy and envy. Hallelujah. Jealousy is a protection of something that belongs to you. When a woman gets jealous, she's protecting her husband, she's protecting her territory. It is allowed. But be ye angry and sin not. There is a level you will go, it becomes sin. But envy is that somebody has something that you desire, but you cannot have it. Then a feeling of that you have against that person, to the level where you begin to deride that person, you begin to speak evil against that person because of that thing that the person has, which you want, you like, but you cannot have. It is called envy. And because of envy, people, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We make them begin to speak against. And you know what they do? Don't mind him. The juju they use. The Holy Ghost, God has chosen a vessel. Amen. And be very, very careful. Be very, very careful. Be very, very careful. I am stressing this for a reason, and it is for your own good, because I have already escaped from the consequence by the knowledge that I have, which I'm sharing with you now. You will never hear me say anything like that. You will never hear me say anything like that. But if you are sure that the anointing the person is using is not of God, because now together when I go, where you collect them, you escort them, go. Go to the rooftop. Say it. God will even bless you for saying it. But it is out of a feeling of envy you have. Whether it is an only him, God if he use. Whether it is an only her, God if it, God if they use. Some people, what do you call it? Somebody was telling me that some people say that Sister Marachi has driven everybody and decided that only she will be the sister that will minister in this church.
In this church?
In this church. And that is why no other sister is ministering. Now only her. Okay. If you are aware that that is exactly what she's doing, God will bless you for it. But if out of envy you are speaking that, hey! Okay. Continue. The manifestation is the interpretation of what I am teaching today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. There is something that Sister Marachi normally consults before she come and prophesy. If you have seen her doing it, use microphones, say it confidently. But if out of envy, so that you will do whatever you want to achieve, you are saying that, hey, the Bible call it blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. They say Pastor Moses is T.B. Joshua that gave him power. That he went to select, they bury him in a coffin. Don't mind what is happening, Brother Assembly Church. Pastor Moses, there's one water he used to wash their eye for years. That is what they were spreading in the end-time message churches. I didn't reply any of them because I knew that they were blaspheming the Holy Ghost and there is a promise of God. And I am telling you this with all humility. Every one of them that have propagated that, every one of them, you need to see the estate of frustration they are going through till date. And many of them, I had to go back to their rescue. The humiliation they faced was too much. That is why I say, this is a sin that many of us, almost all of us, are guilty of without knowing the consequence. The consequence, whether you know the consequence or not, but that this is the reason you are doing what you are doing, the rod of God is upon you. It's upon you. God will not allow Jesus Christ to be crucified a second time. Now, Psalm 68 verse 18 even says something. The fact that somebody does not believe the message. Philip, Chinedu, all of you, the fact that they are Catholic, the fact that they are Trinitarians, the fact that Ebuka behind here is putting the image of Mary. Listen, the fact that the motto somewhere in Warri, the fact that all these people are doing all the nonsense they are doing, but there is an anointing behind it. Hallelujah. The fact that they are misbehaving does not mean that the anointing is not of God. Be very, very careful. Be very, very careful. Listen to Psalm 68 and verse 18.
Thou hast ascended on high. Uh-huh. Thou hast led captivity captive. Uh-huh. Thou hast received gifts for men.
He has received what?
Gifts for men.
Uh-huh.
Yea, for the rebellious also.
Even for the rebellious. Those who will use the anointing and sell it. Those who will misbehave. After ministry, they end up in a hotel with a woman. After all the crusade, the anointing that took place, they still do the nonsense they do. Does not separate his character from the anointing. Do you know that is the scripture that Apostle Paul quoted in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9 and verse 10?
Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth?
Uh-huh.
He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above
He's
all levels.
He's quoting the same Psalm 68.
That he might feel all things.
Uh-huh.
And he gave some apostles.
Now these are the gifts that he gave to all men, even to the rebellious. He gave some rebellious people
apostles.
And some rebellious people prophets. Some rebellious people are evangelists. Some rebellious people are pastors. And some rebellious people are teachers. Rebellious. Amen. The reason is so that God will also be found in their midst. And to do what? Is to do the work of the ministry. And one of the work of the ministry is to separate the wheat from the tares. And they will use an anointing. He said at the end time, he, God, will send what? Reapers. They are servants of God sent. How will they believe them? He has to anoint them. So we don't speak against the anointing. We speak against the character. We speak against the character. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So be careful what you do with your mouth. How do we blaspheme? Secondly, is by presumption. Presumption. What is presumption? Presumption is to suppose to be true without proof. To presume is to confidently take something as true without any proof. And that is why Even Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13. What does it say? Proverbs chapter 18 verse 13.
He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him.
Again.
He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him.
It is folly. It is shameful that you don't hear something from somebody. You have not confirmed it. And you begin to act on what you have heard. And those of us who are very, very guilty of such folly and shameful acts are we, the ministers, the pastors. A woman that is having a problem with her husband will come to you. And you know women know how to talk well. And before you know what, you are saying, which kind of useless man this woman marry like this? You're a fool. The Bible says so. Praise God. You're a fool. You're not qualified to be a counselor, a judge. You hear one matter from one side. You will not confirm and you pass judgment. It's wrong. And the reason why you believe it confidently is because of the source you are hearing it from. You have respect so much for Brother Chima. Anything he tells you, you believe it. And Chima is the personal assistant to the pastor. So anything he says concerning the pastor must be true. It's his wife. Now who knows him more than his wife? So anything the wife says is true. Yes. It's his son now. Anything he says, do you know him better than his son? Therefore, it is true. It is not true until it became true. It is not true until it is confirmed to be true. Do you hear my English? There must be proof. And it is wrong to use your gift to judge anybody. If you see a gift, by your gift, you see that a brother or sister is a witch, and you begin to run away from the person, hey, it is a presumptuous sin because you have not confirmed yet. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established. Because only God is not fallible. You can have a dream of your own thought. If you don't like anybody, you will never see any good dream for that person. That is the truth. If everything people around you are saying concerning a particular person is negative, you are hearing, your dream will be confirming what they are saying. What they are saying. That is one sin that many of us, all of us, may be guilty of. You presume because it is the pastor that said it. There are some pastors that lie. There are some pastors that lie. Oh. They are human beings too. That's right. That's why for people like us, the last thing you do is to think that when you come and finish me before somebody, then based on your testimony, I will run away from the person. And it's very easy to know it. Anytime you tell me anything, this person is bad, this person is bad, this person is bad. The effect it does in me is it draws me closer to confirm what you are saying. And how you will know that the person is after you, when they see me closer to you, they will start to fight me. Upon all I told you, you are still close to this person. When he finish you, you will know. When he finish you, you will know. Hey, he's pretending, he's pretending. Wait now, he will soon strike. What's your problem? What's your problem? There is a spirit. that was thrown in the church in the closing of this year. The last few months. That spirit was designed for people to hate Olumide. I'm telling all of you concerned that you were blaspheming the Holy Ghost without knowing it. And it is also a sin against the body of Christ. That is the truth. I am still battling up till now, to reformat the people and kick out that nonsense they put on their brain. Something was going around in the church among some so-called, they have a language they use, stakeholder. Can you see how human beings in a church, Christians degenerated until some people in this church are called stakeholders. Anything to be done, they are the ones to be consulted. That you are who? Stake. Everyone that pays tithe and offering and is offering any service in Bride Assembly, you are a stakeholder in this ministry. You are a stakeholder in this ministry. This nonsense should stop. We are a church. We are not a social gathering. We are not a political party. Stop politics in the church. We all know. I'm sorry to say this. We all know that when it comes to respect of elders, the Yoruba man is very respectful. Their culture brings them up like that. And that is the truth. And that threat is on this Yoruba man, Olumide. It was designed so that ministers will not cooperate and work with him. You can imagine where they call Olumide. There is a language some of them use. You must have heard it. What is this boy saying? It is a blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Do you know why? The reason you are saying that, listen very well. People don't understand these things. At what age did Jesus Christ minister? From age 12, he was already ministering in the temple. And you call it, I should be about my father's business. It was at age 30 that he was shut out and served for only 3 years and left. Thank God for this sermon. I was waiting for this opportunity before. It pained me because it is the virus we have been fighting since last year to destroy the faith of the people. Somebody that I hold highly as a gift God has given to the body of Christ, the enemy is attacking it out of envy. Nothing else, out of envy. If it is not out of envy, a pure heart, if you commit anything, I'll go and meet you. Why did you do this? And settle it among yourself. But instead of settling it, you are going to start sowing seeds of discord. And the people that listen to you will now presume that what you are saying is correct and act like that to him. You are committing the sin of blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Do you know why? Now, listen very well. For you to reach the rank of a warrant officer in the army, sorry, now the one where I know how they use for example, it will take you a minimum of 18 years in the army before you become warrant officer. Now, you have been there for 18 years. One small boy will go to NDA after 4 years and come. And he's given a rank far, far, far beyond the person that stayed here for 18 years. And when he comes, he becomes the commander of the person that has spent 18 years. Now, he is not there by virtue of his age. is there by virtue of his commission. It is the commission. It is the commission. Hallelujah. It is not his age. No matter how old you have been in Bride Assembly, hallelujah, the age of Pastor Lumite, he is not operating by his age. It's by the call of God upon him. Oh, when you disturb him, it is a blasphemy of the Holy Ghost if you disturb him. There is a law that backs up that commission officer. There is a law that backs him up. There is an authority that was given to him by he who gave him the commission. And it is by the president commander-in-chief of the armed forces. When you disobey him, you are disobeying the authority of the president, because he is a representative of the president. That is what is called commission. That is why I say I call it the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Because it is not him you are despising. It is the call of God upon him you are despising. Stop it, church. Stop it. They are complaining. Why is he rebuking elderly people for coming late? Who is elder? If you are elder, you will act as elder. You will be living, will be following you as an example. You are an elder, you are coming to church late. Shame on you. You are not elder anything. You are not elder. And if we are too small to pastor, you get out of this church and go to where you can fit in. Here, we will preach here without respect to persons. Challenge us whether what we are saying is scriptural or not, whether it is true or not, not our age or how we are saying it. We may be rude in speech, but not in knowledge. Not in knowledge. Not in knowledge. That's why Psalm 19, verse 12, 13 and 14, the prayer of the psalmist. Listen very well.
Who can understand his errors?
Psalm 19, verse 12. Who can understand his errors?
Cleanse thou me from secret faults.
From secret faults.
Keep back thy servants also from presumption sins.
Can you see? It's a prayer, because he knows. Now, see the way he ends that verse.
Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression.
I will be innocent from what?
The great transgression.
And what is the great transaction? It's the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. That is the great transaction. Transgression. That is the great transgression. Presumptuous sin will make you to be guilty of the great transgression. Stop judging people by what others tell you. You know, I know I'm talking to the whole world, but I'm addressing an issue of the ministry also. Listen very well. Church, listen very well. I've been pastoring this church for the past 25 years. I have seen characters. I have seen characters. Anytime there are people that package themselves to look relevant in the ministry, but when it is time to prove their relevance, they know they will soon be exposed. Then they begin to apply some of this funny attitude. When it comes to let's contribute to money, you have been behaving like a man that has money. So people will come to you now and ask you, can you come and contribute? Then you will hear them trying to dissect it. Trying to dissect it. The problem is that we are not carried along. Those who have the money, they'll be happy. They'll be happy because they're looking for opportunity before to do that. But those who know that, they will soon see that they didn't contribute. Then they will be talking. No, so when they come, I've been laughing. When they have been laughing, I said, don't mind them. That's also a person. I said, don't mind them. We know all of them. And that quickly leads me to say something now. Please. I know you people love me. I know. But there's something I'm not too comfortable about. The idea of a group of people coming together to gather money to celebrate my birthday. I want to beg you to stop it from now on. Let nobody go and tell anybody to gather money to celebrate me. If you want to honor me as an individual, you are free to do it. But don't task any group. Any group that has told you to bring money for pastor's birthday, return their money to them. I don't want anybody to task anybody to celebrate my birthday. Listen, you are not the one that will celebrate my birthday. I will celebrate my birthday and invite you if I want to. Listen, therefore, please, from now till I die, don't contribute money to celebrate me. Except you yourself, you have the money and you want to invite me and my family to have a dinner on the occasion of my birthday. But don't go and meet any brother, any sister and say, we should contribute money. I have never been comfortable with it. But I want to now use the liberty. Say na me when they celebrate. I don't want. So in case my birthday is coming now and you are secretly gathering money, please return everybody's money to them. Because I will not come. I will not come. But I thank you for that show of love. I appreciate it that you find me worthy to celebrate me. But please do that as an individual, not by tasking people. I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for your understanding. So after this, if anybody say bring money, now 419. Now lie. There's no occasion, anything. Nothing. And you don't have to come and give me at the altar here. I get office. Don't make me stand here like Babi Allah. Then they collect offering. Babi Allah, come and drop. Babi Allah. There's nothing like that. I'm not comfortable with it. I have never been. That's not in my character. If we're going to collect money, it should be money for a collective benefit of the church. Like we're going to build a hall in front of this car park. We are processing the documents with the Lagos State Government. The same way we build this place, the way we build that, we are going to build 2 floors. We are hoping to have some rooms there where people can come and stay during camp meetings. And we're going to have halls because the children's church hall is too small for the children. They need bigger halls. And that construction is going to start this January. So if you have money to contribute, we need money for cement, iron rod. And then those who don't have money, when we want to deck the 2 floors, you can come and come as a laborer as we built this place. Thank you very much for your understanding. Praise the Lord. What happened? Not the vex. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thirdly, the sin of presumption. How do we commit the sin of presumption? I will soon finish. I'm rounding up. As simple as you frustrating those the Holy Ghost is using. When you frustrate the vessels, because there won't be an estate for the Holy Ghost to use them, you are hindering the progress of the gospel. They're frustrating their ministry work through gossips, through unwarranted attacks, through traps. Make them never to be in an estate where they can minister freely to people, especially in a church like this. You are risking the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Remember that Jesus Christ said that every sin committed against the Son of Man is forgiven. But he that speaketh anything against the Holy Ghost, he shall not be forgiven in this world or in the world to come. So, but after he died, the Holy Ghost began to walk. If you read the Bible, the book of Acts, you see what the disciples went through. They killed some. They imprisoned some. Read what Apostle Paul went through. All the difficulties he went through as they were doing the work of the ministry. Jesus Christ saw it coming. In Matthew 23, you can read it from verse 29. How he kept saying, woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you. He said, fulfill your own part so that you'll be guilty of the blood of the saints right from the time of Abel until he began to mention it. And it happened in AD 70. They paid for it. They paid for it. And they are still paying for it up to now. The Jews. It was because of the sin of the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. They were hindering the progress of the gospel. And he is the same. He never changes. I am the Lord. I change it not. You commit the same sin, it will frustrate you also. I'm telling you, that is the truth. Try to read the story of Aaron and Miriam. What were they challenging? If you read it from Numbers chapter 12, the first 10 verses there, what were they challenging him for? That he married an Ethiopian woman. You see, they kept challenging. You are a Jew. You go marry from Ethiopia. No be him. One sevuna. When I drive him to go, so then he ran away. So where he go? You no go marry. No get married. Where he there? And after all, hallelujah, didn't go see that condition. Was he not already married before God called him and gave him that great commission? You were frustrating the ministry because you can imagine how that old man would be feeling at that time. And the Bible says that God came down by himself in anger and smote Miriam with leprosy. She was blaspheming the Holy Ghost. In number 16, also if you read it from verse 1, we have the story of Dathan, Korah, and Abiram. You saw what they went through. Tormenting this servant of God. Disturbing his ministry. Until God came down and you saw. Plus, apart from the three of them, 250 others that they were able to stand to follow them to rebel against Moses. Moses did not call himself. What he was doing was what God called him to do. The Bible describes him as the meekest man that lived upon the earth. So you won't say he did anything that hurt anybody. Anything he said was thus said the Lord. Anything he did was thus said the Lord. And then in his old age when he should be resting, he is there battling with carnal people that would disturb him. You saw how they ended up. Ground open and swallowed them up. It was the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Be careful. Romans 14 verse 4. Romans 14 verse 4. All of you, be careful how you judge us.
Who art thou that judges another man's servant?
Why are you bothered judging us? If you cannot benefit from our ministry, then leave us alone.
To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up. For God is able to make him stand.
It's between him and God. Leave him alone. If you cannot pray for him, then leave him alone. Pastor Zoe's wife was telling me, two ministers at two different times. And she said, she used to hate the way those ministers used to behave. And she was sitting down because she's gifted. And she was angry when the minister passed her some years back. He said, suddenly the voice rebuked her. I made him like that. I don't know if you are on Zoom. Sister Zoe, you can confirm this. You see? He said the same thing concerning what the Lord showed her. in the ministry, Sister Amarachi, Prophet Sunday, and Prophet Boboye. And she said, from that day, she changed. And all she does is to be praying for God's servants. And that is what we all owe the people that God is using. Praise the Lord. And as a roundup, remember that in Matthew chapter 12, where he made that statement, in verse 36 and verse 37, the consequence of what we say with our mouth.
But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned.
Everything you say, you will give account of it. Not when we get to heaven, no. Here, on earth, here. You will pay for it. Then, Proverbs 18, verse 21, gave me a different meaning when I caught this.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Can you see? The thing that you say can also bring death upon you. And it can bring life around you. And that's why in James chapter 3, he gave so much emphasis on the tongue, the need to tame the tongue. Because this tongue can put you into trouble, even with God. And the reason this happens is simple. It is the condition of your heart. To the pure, all things are pure. There are people that everything that becloud is negativity. When they meet you, the first thing they see is a negative thing concerning you. They are the ones that when you come near them, they are not looking at your smile. Their nose has caught that you are smelling. So any other thing you are saying, they are distracted. They are distracted by the smell. You are coming to give them message as I'm preaching now. There are some ministers that have been disturbing me since here. Now my cloth, they look. They've been distracting me. Daddy, you are old. You are old. You are old. Dress like old man. Dress like old man. Dozier was the one leading them. And I started making more younger for them. That's why I changed my dance steps at a certain time. To the pure, all things are pure. Hallelujah. The fact that you see a brother and a sister coming out of the hotel does not mean they went there to fornicate. Why should it be the first thing that will come to your mind? What if that girl is his biological sister? That they went to visit somebody. Why do you are so negative, the first thing that comes, you don't even know how they're related, you don't know who they are. You conclude, hey, let me stream it live, Facebook. I said it. It's because your heart is not pure. Your heart is not pure. That is what Titus chapter 1 verse 15 says. What did he say? Titus 1:15.
Unto the pure, all things are pure.
You just consider everything is pure. And then what?
But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing.
Nothing
pure.
Is pure. Nothing is pure.
But even their mind and conscience is defiled.
As they drive your car, they go. You will see them. Instead of them to rejoice, they say, only God knows how where you take your money, where you buy this motor. Now then be that. Only God knows. The girl dressed fine, they go. You know how many men don't sleep with where you get money by that kind of cloth? Because your heart, you are nothing in you is clean. That's why everything you see is negative. You see a brother, you see a sister, and is behaving ungodly, The first thing that should come to your mind is, oh Lord, help him. Let him not be lost. Not Siam. You're going to hell. Now hell, now hell you go. Hell. Hellfire. Hellfire. Who told you? It is by dressing that we know who go to hellfire. You're already in hell. That's why you are telling the person he will join you. Stop that. It is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Finally, none, that is the last one, the sixth one, and I'm happy I'm able to conclude it. Non-fulfillment of vow. If you make a vow and you don't fulfill it, it is sin. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 from verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 from verse 1.
Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words.
Listen very well.
When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it.
It's a commandment, it's a warning, oh.
For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow.
It's better you don't make a vow than you make a vow and you don't pay it.
Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error.
It was an error. Now, I don't talk him.
Wherefore should God be angry,
God will be
at, thy
angry
voice,
at your voice when you
and
speak
destroy
like that.
The work of thy hands?
Can you see why some of us, the works of our hands are destroyed like that? You made a vow. You are making light of it. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 21. Deuteronomy 23, verse 21.
When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee.
Hey, he will require it. Go on.
And it will be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin.
If you didn't make any vow, it is no sin. Nobody forces you to make a vow. Verse 23.
That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform. Even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth.
That is why Apostle Paul says, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. Knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. As we enter the new year, this is my admonishment. In Romans chapter 12, it is about the renewal of verse 1.
I beseech you therefore, brethren,
yes,
by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
And
be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
That is where I'm looking for. Reformat your mind. Reformat your thinking as a Christian. Change the way we relate with God and relate with one another. The renewal of your mind is talking about your conscience. In Acts chapter 23, verse 1, this was what Apostle Paul said before those who brought him for judgment.
And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren,
what did he say?
I have lived in all good conscience before God until
this day. Read it again.
Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until
this day. I have lived
in
all good conscience before God till this day. If somebody will stand and make that type of statement, he knows how he has been relating with God. And in chapter 24, that same Acts and verse 16, he added there.
And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God.
This is what he uses as a guide for his life, to have always a conscience void of any offense towards God and towards men. How do you achieve it? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8.
Finally, brethren.
This is how you achieve it.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Think on these things. And he finally prayed that prayer in verse 7 of that same Philippians chapter 4.
And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
In the following year, in the name of Jesus Christ. Can we stand up, church? Can we stand up, church? Thou who knowest all my weakness, hear, O hear, and answer my prayer. very sincere prayer. If you have caught anything at all, maybe I didn't say it like the motivational speaker will speak. I may be rude in my speech. But please, that principle I'm teaching you is true knowledge. That's why many of us suffer. We don't know it. I'm telling you, that is the truth. Why will all your doors close? Something is wrong. Why will you not have favor? Something is wrong. Why will you be in a ministry and all you face is frustration, frustration, frustration? The gift of the Spirit of God, the gift, every true gift, every true gift grows. You are among the gifted sisters, among the gifted brothers. Why is your own not growing? Check it. It may be that you have been envious and speaking against another gifted person. God will just put a stopper for your own. Instead of going on, you'll be going down. And the unfortunate thing is that instead of you to realize it, you'll be getting worse. And before you know it, it will turn to hatred. And before you know it, you'll be fighting this other person out of frustration instead of you to repent. Anything you desire, when you see it anywhere, don't speak against it. If you speak against it, we run away from you. But when you cherish it, you come close to it, you encourage that person that is operating that gift, before you know what, the thing will jump on you. I'm telling you, that is the truth. There are people, even in the congregation, you will hear them. I have had such statement. I called the leader of one of the prayer groups. When somebody recorded what a member of the prayer group is saying and brought it to me, is they are busy finishing the ministers. That is why I refuse to join the gifted people. I know my gift. It's a lie. You refuse to join because your own no reach that level. And out of envy, you are standing before people and finishing people that God has brought to use through them and bless them. You are blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And you don't know it. Look, we are Christians. If you see me doing anything bad, you see a brother and sister do anything bad, you have no right to go and talk about it to another person when you have not confronted the person. You are guilty. It's a sin. And you can never speak and find somebody that you are praying for. And some people pray is for you to disgrace yourself. When you carry microphone, instead of that, you say, Lord, use him. Lord, use him. You are there wishing that he will misfire. I told you, I guess and I guess. I told you. In the same church, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I pray. I don't know how many people I'm talking to. Because I'm talking to the whole world. That this may be the secret for your prosperity for next year. Just reformat yourself. What you don't know, live your life and they go. Are you an inspector of people's lives? You don't finish your own. You never remove the beam that is in your eye. You are talking about the moth that is another person's eye. You yourself, are you perfect? You are pointing at people's fault. What of your own fault? And as you would that men should do to you, you do it to other people. It's what you give will come back to you. That's why people just live life like that. It's frustration, frustration, frustration. And they think it is by fasting and prayer that the situation will change. It is a character change. It's no more prayer. No, prayer didn't work. It is a retreat. And live a life with this knowledge that every sin I commit, there is a just recompense of reward. There is a consequence. This coming year must be better. I desire, Lord, to serve you better. to have a relationship better as you enter the new year. Can you talk to God? 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Vow to be a better Christian than this year, next year. And ask the Lord to help you. I realize my fault. I realize I've taken a lot of things for granted. Realize, Lord, I've taken a lot of things for granted. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Christian faith is very, very simple. He said, my yoke is easy. The burden is light. Just obey. If not for Jesus, where will I be? It's true. The confidence I have, when sometimes I'm too tired to pray and I sleep, I have since got to know that I am not protected because I pray before I sleep. I've been enjoying his mercy. So I want to live a life pleasing before him. Praise the Lord. I want to live a life pleasing before him. Pastor Ifeanyi from Ikorodu, when I was sharing a revelation I just caught during the week, and he asked me, he said, Daddy, how do you study? How do you get to know these things? I say it's because I study to show myself approved unto God. I don't study because I want to teach. I study so that I will learn and walk by what God wants me to do. I study so that I can apply what they say. So anything I'm sharing with you is what I have practiced. That's why I'm sharing it with you. I am not an academician. I am not a lecturer. I am a preacher. I am a witness. And a witness must have facts to prove. Don't read the Bible. Study the Bible. You will soon discover as you read. The Bible is a mirror. You will just see, hey, I don't know how many people have read the Bible, finished, you close, you kneel and say, Father, forgive me. You read to apply it. Don't quote it like children church. They come and quote. That's very good. They don't even know the meaning of what they are saying. But you read it, study, so that you will apply it. Watch and pray. What will you watch? The first thing to watch is your life. Watch your life. The watchmen are the fivefold ministry. So stop watching one another. Watch yourself. We are watching you people. You watch yourself so that our watch can be easier. Amen. God bless you, because I know there's the Lord that ministered to me to share this today. He's going to use it to reformat some people's Christian faith. In the name of Jesus.